FM's Tom and Ollie can be naughty boys with naughty questions. That's why the following content is rated naughty.
Buckle up, kids.
All ears proceed past this point at their own risk.
Say, kids, what time is it?
She said 9 o'clock.
Yeah, baby.
Tom and Ollie's naughty after nine.
Jeez, I'm so annoyed we didn't get all 1,001 uses of that plastic tub, Ollie, that I saw at Bunnings that had a label that said, that plastic tub, 1,001 uses.
It was ambitious, Tom, to expect to get to that target. But you're right, you've said let's make it an extended project, and so we're going to spend the next, a few weeks at least, I think.
Why did you tick off shopping tub in the list of 1,001 uses?
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
I don't think I did that.
Oh, okay. Well, we've already got 21 uses. I thought maybe in half an hour we could get some naughty uses for the plastic tub, Ollie.
Well, that's a good idea because on Facebook, Jason's messaged a few ideas that I couldn't have said pre 9 o'clock.
Yeah, okay.
But they're a bit naughty, so maybe there are, you know, some naughty answers out there.
All right, well, stick around for 30 minutes if you've got a naughty use for the plastic tub. Mm. Ollie, I want to chuck on some Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall, because it's a classic. But after that, I want to discuss pleasure and relationships. And who owns whose pleasure?
Sounds like you're getting a bit philosophical, Tom.
I'll explain all up next, but it was a phrase that a mate said to me that piqued my interest. Stick around. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We have questions. The end of that song sounds like my Friday night, yelling about pig sheds and meat. Triple M's Tom and Ollie, Another Brick in the Wall, Pink Floyd. Well, because I had pork belly on Friday night.
What? How can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat?
How can you have your meat if you don't?
Anyway, they did it best, not us, so we won't try, Tom.
Good call.
A Tom and Ollie content warning.
Yeah, baby.
Tom and Ollie's naughty after nine.
I want to talk relationships and pleasure now, Ollie, on 133353. I was speaking to a mate, James, the other day, who is in an open relationship with his partner, and he said the phrase to me, my partner, or pleasure is mine, and no one else can own that. Basically, he's saying no one else can own the pleasure that I experience. And I was thinking about this, and I went, that's a really interesting phrase. And I half agree with it in a way. Mm. I half agree with the sense that, like, if something gives you pleasure and you derive pleasure from that, no one else can own that or take that away from you.
No, I guess not. I mean, it makes sense that you like that. You're a bit of a thirsty piggy.
And so 133353, what do you think about this idea of pleasure being owned or taken away by your partner?
So, but if I get pleasure, Tom, from cheating on my partner, I mean, that's, you know, they can't own that. I can't then say to them, well, you don't own my pleasure. So, you know, saying, how
but
does it, that?
But if you're going consensually, if you're that's not a nice thing to do. You don't want to be cheating on your partner.
Like, tell me how that idea you just said there, you own your pleasure, no one else owns your own pleasure. How does that play out? What does that mean? What does that allow you to do?
Well, I think it basically goes like, what, you know, in an open relationship sense, you'd be going, you'd be exploring that with your partner. You'd be going, okay, let's be in an open relationship and you have sex for pleasure. Mm. Why would you stop doing that and being in a monogamous relationship? And then, I don't know. This is why I'm on the fence about it, Ollie, because I find it an interesting statement. I like, it resonates with me somewhat, but I also do agree that there should be agreement in relationship and things.
Well,
like
in the past, you've enjoyed open relationships, and you've even said to me, you know, oh, Ollie, you love experiences. Why don't you and your partner just be open? And as a straight person with a long-term loving girlfriend, I'm like, yeah, that's easy to say, mate, but that's, you know, that's probably not going to work for a couple of reasons. An open relationship, I just don't think a lot of people would find that hard, and I think my partner and potentially even me might find that hard. I mean, I'm a bit pretty hedonistic kind of guy, but open relationships, I think they're difficult to pull off. You don't hear of many long-term open relationships.
That's not true.
I don't hear of them.
Swingers?
I never heard of any.
You ever heard of a swinger? That's basically a type of open relationship.
Okay, but that's, you're confining it to one night of, you know, one party and being silly and then...
No, swingers can be involved in lots of parties.
Of course, but It's different.
I think that's a ridiculous phrase to say that there's no open relationships that last long time.
Well, I didn't. I said I don't think there are many.
You did. I take offense to that. And me and my friends would take offense to that.
Why?
Well, because I just think that's a ridiculous statement.
Have you got many examples of long-term open relationships?
Yeah, I've got lots of friends that have open relationships that have been in relationships longer than you. 133353. Pleasure is mine and no one else can own it. Is this a selfish phrase? Or is this something that could be put into practice? 133353, what do you think? Give us a call. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. I want it all, Queen. How fitting. Triple M's Tom and Ollie.
A Tom and Ollie content warning.
Yeah, baby.
Tom and Ollie's Naughty After Nine.
We'll try and find some naughty uses for the plastic tub a little bit later on.
Oh, naughty.
If you've just joined us, don't worry, we'll fill you in on what that's all about very soon. 133353, does your partner own your pleasure? Does your partner own your pleasure? Get involved in this conversation.
It's
rapidly evolving because I haven't
rapidly
sorted
devolving more like it, Tom.
Well, I haven't really sorted it out in my head. All I know is that I want to discuss this idea of what, pleasure in it being owned by people.
What you did before was you brought a statement that you worked out the statement, and when I combated it with a competing argument, and then you had nowhere to go.
Yeah, because you're straight.
Oh, okay, you straight hating man.
I heard a mate say, pleasure is mine and no one else can own it. He's in an open relationship with his partner. And I reflected on that and I was conflicted by it. And I want to know what you think on 133353 if pleasure can be owned by a partner. I suppose I want to take out all the sneakiness away from it, Ollie, all the disrespectful behavior that could happen between partnerships, like cheating and that kind of thing. And I want to say, two consenting adults, what do you think about this? Do you think a partner owns pleasure over the other one?
Well, the statement, pleasure is mine and my own and no one else owns it, that is purely hedonistic, which I connect with. I think I'm fairly hedonistic, but you have to understand that if you want your pleasure to be all up for what you want, and then you're accepting that others will be hurt by that. Or that won't be part of their pleasure framework. So there comes a point where you have to find a line where you're happy with your own pleasure, but you'll pull it back to a certain extent that it doesn't overcross, for example, your partner's displeasure.
And so can there be a point where you're both just, could there be just two hedonists in a relationship that are both just seeking as much pleasure as possible?
Well, this is the core difficulty, I think, of open relationships is that you are rarely going to be able to achieve a place where both people in a couple have the same level of hedonism, because there'll always be one partner who's going a bit further than the other, or the other who's a bit like, I'm not as keen as you are. And that's where I think the tension is with an open relationship.
133353. Join this conversation on pleasure and if pleasure can be owned or detracted from
the statement that you've read it out, pleasure is your own and no one else owns it. Do you think it can hold up?
In a way, yeah, I think so. But I also know that's just, that can be a selfish thing. So, I hate people feeling bad. So I'd never want someone to feel bad because I'm seeking pleasure.
It sounds like the kind of thing that I would have said when I was 23 and I broke up with my girlfriend.
Jane on 133353.
It's opening up there and you've just moved on.
Sorry, mate. Well, let's get
to
the calls.
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Let's get to the calls. We'll talk about what you want in a tick. Hey, Jane.
Hello. How are you going?
You used to be in an open relationship. What do you think about this phrase that pleasure is mine and no one else can own it?
Well, it's mine, but it could be shared. If you're in an open relationship, you are sharing your experiences when you come home, and that creates lots more fun experiences.
Okay. So you were both out seeking other partners when you were in an open relationship?
Not out seeking, finding partners together and sometimes sharing the experiences together, sometimes not. But it was never about separate. Mm-hmm. It was always about definitely me having fun, or him going having fun and then coming back and sharing that as well.
It sounds like your idea of pleasure is obviously very linked and is intertwined with your partner, Jane.
Oh, we've been together for 20 years, so yes.
I think that's where the statement about pleasure being your own, it doesn't sound like it factors in your partner. That's the issue. It's purely about what you want, which I get, but it's a fairly narrow way of going about pleasure. It's not. It's not coupley. It's It's I want to go out and have a raucous time, and I'll do whatever I want. But which then, there's a place for that.
And isn't there also the sense of going, well, you should do that too.
Totally.
Or you can do that too.
Yeah.
You now can seek as much pleasure as you want. Like there's no need for this societal constraint of being like, it's only us and it only us forever.
Yeah, well, that's where you're getting into the interesting sort of theory as to why we are monogamous.
Maybe.
Why do we pursue long-term partnerships to an exclusive level?
Well, up next, let's talk to someone who's in a polygamous relationship. Josh has three partners. We'll talk to him after brand new Aussie music for an amazing woman called Amy Shark. This one's called All Loved Up from her debut album that came out this year. New music here on Triple M with Tom and Ollie. Naughty After Nine. Give us a call. Tell me what you think about that one. It's Amy Shark's All Loved Up. Head to triplem.com.au and become a Triple M Club member. We love to hear what you
we
think
love new
about
music.
The new music we that love we play on this station. We do love new music on this station, Ollie. It's Triple M and you're with Tom and Ollie.
A Tom and Ollie content warning.
Yeah, baby.
Tom and Ollie's Naughty After Nine.
Something where I don't know where I stand now, Ollie. Does your partner own your pleasure? Pleasure is mine and no one else can own it, I heard my mate say. And I was intrigued about where I stand on this and I'm unsure. I'm unsure about monogamy. I'm unsure about open relationships. I'm currently in a monogamous relationship and I've been in an open one in the past and I'm not sure what's better.
Well, you're intrigued by your friend who said that he's in an open relationship, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's fully open.
Yep.
And so it sounds like it's working for him, or that was his statement, that he said, pleasure is my own.
Yeah. He also said that he said, it's ridiculous to think that my partner will give me the best sex I've ever had for the rest of my life. Like, that's just ridiculous. He says, I have partners that give me way better sex than my... you know, relationship partner.
Yeah.
He says, so why wouldn't I go out and experience all this other sex?
Mm.
I don't want to date those people. I still want to come back home to my partner.
Yeah.
So why are we withholding this pleasure? Maybe we can ask Josh on 133353, who's in a polygamous relationship with three partners. Good evening, Josh.
Oh, good day, mate.
You receive pleasure from three different partners. What do you think about this statement, pleasure is mine and no one else can own it?
Well, one important thing that I've discovered is that I personally think that there's a difference between a polygamous relationship and an open relationship. And that is the setup that I've got at the moment is it's got a bit more responsibility to it. It's got a bit more, you know, you're held accountable for your actions. So what originally happened was me and this one other girl, and we realized that we weren't fulfilling all the desires of each other and that we might never fulfill everything to the fullest extent.
Yeah.
And so we both decided together, hey, we're going to go out and see what can happen elsewhere. And it's got an interesting dynamic at the moment where me and this one other girl are really close together, and like I take her to family events and stuff, and then there's the other two which are closer together as well, and we all kind of interact.
So that girl that's going to family events, she's the first original girlfriend?
Yep, she's the original girlfriend, and so, I'm not supported in my family with that. They don't know about that, about the polygamous relationship. So they just know as me and her. But
are the other two girls, are they sort of their own couple in a way?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of like they're their own couple, and we all just interact together. So like they'll go out together. Like everyone will go out with each other at different times, but it's mainly me and her and then the other two, and we interact together a lot as well, but kind of segmented, kind of not. But I don't agree with the statement that pleasure is your own and no one else can own it, because I think that there's definitely experiences, and whether or not you're in a polygamous relationship or a monogamous relationship or a like the point that was brought up earlier where you said you don't think that open relationships can stay long term, I think it's because you do believe in that type of relationship. You believe that pleasure is your own and it does have that kind of selfish pull to it. But we do hold each other accountable. Every now and then we'll go out on a one night stand or whatever, but that's where it ends. We never like have other long-term relationships. There's no affairs behind each other's backs. We're all open about it.
Well, I'd call that an open relationship. We're speaking to Josh, who's in a polygamous relationship with three different partners, if you've just joined us. Yeah, Josh, I would say that if you're going out and having one-night stands with other people, that sounds like you are in an open relationship.
it's not discouraged, but it's also not encouraged either, if that makes sense. Like, it happens every now and then, and we understand that. But for the most part, like, if it's going to be more than once, or if you're regularly going out, then we're going to, like, sit down and say, hey, what's going on here? Because we're trying to, like, complete each other and make it so that all of us are satisfied together and that we don't need to go out and seek other people. And so...
Josh, you're 21 years old. You're pretty young. How long has it been going on for?
4 years. So after the first year is when we started finding other partners, and it's been the other two partners in the 2 years. And we've actually said at the moment that we all seem quite happy with where we are in our relationships, and we're not really expanding out any further than what we are right now. And so it's working really well. And like, I've had monogamous relationships before now. I never really thought about polygamous until this relationship. And
is there unique challenges to having this kind of relationship that you think, you know, you might be, you know, achieving certain sensory goals and, you know, achieving other pleasurable aspects to the partnership and to the, well, the four of you, but are there other difficulties that come with it?
There's definitely other difficulties. For example, there was a little bit of jealousy with one of the partners at the start in regards to the fact that my original partner was the one that always got to go to family events and stuff with me. And that was because of my religious parents. And I just have never felt comfortable telling them that I'm in a polygamous relationship. So it's always been her from the start. But she kind of wanted in. There was a specific wedding and had a theme that she was really enjoyed the sound of when she heard about it. And I said, I'm sorry, but I'm not really comfortable with you going, because that would be really difficult to spring on them. It's like a month away, plus organizing your dress and everything like that. It would be a lot of effort. And
that's what I was saying to Tom about, I think the jealousy element is hard to marry up all four partners or whatever it is, the number. It's hard to make an equal playing field in those kind of relationships.
Thank you very much for sharing, Josh. I want to now turn then to monogamous couples or people who have been in a relationship for a while. And Ollie, I'll ask you this after the break, but 133353, why do we withhold from obtaining pleasure from outside the relationship? Why do we commit to one person and one person only for the rest of our lives? 133353, why do we withhold from obtaining pleasure from outside the relationship?
Well, why monogamy, Tom?
Great question. 133353 with Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
A Tom and Ollie content warning. Yeah, baby.
Tom and Ollie's Naughty After Nine.
I'm putting monogamy in the spotlight on 133353. If you've been in a monogamy relationship, monogamous relationship, then I want to hear you on 133353, because I want to know, why do we withhold from obtaining pleasure from outside the relationship? I was speaking there with you, Ollie, off air.
Oh, you're ranting. You're ranting about, you know, why, if you can have a lovely dinner with a friend and go and see someone and have great connections intellectually, why is sex the devil? Why is sex the evil line that can't be crossed?
133353. Lisa, you've been with your partner for 26 years and you've never been with anybody else in that time?
No, I haven't. I had opportunity, but no, I haven't.
And why do you not want to obtain pleasure from outside the relationship?
Because I feel comfortable with the person that I'm with, and I feel comfortable with him, and he feels comfortable with me. We don't have to hide anything. There is that trust, there's that security, and we just feel, it feels right.
Okay. What if I said, Lisa, that your partner is not the best sexual partner you'll ever have in your life? There's people out there that could give you a better sexual experience than your partner. Yet you would still come back and hang out with your partner. Do you think that would be different? Or are you listening back to this through the radio? Oh, yeah. Can I go for it?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You've got the radio on.
You've got the radio on in the background, mate. You have to listen to the phone. listen to the voice in your ear, mate. Thanks, Lisa. 133353. If you've been in a relationship with someone, a monogamous relationship, why do you withhold yourself from obtaining pleasure from outside? It's sexual pleasure.
I've got a five-word answer for you, Tom. Up next.
Oh, good. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. I want you back. Hootie Gurus, Triple M's Tom and Ollie.
A Tom and Ollie content warning. Yeah, baby.
Tom and Ollie's Naughty After Nine.
If you you want to see some highlights from our Snow Patrol gig from Friday night, head to triplem.com.au. Monogamy is in the spotlight, Ollie, and I want
to... I'm annoyed, Tom, because you've pushed back our chance to do the 101,001 bucket ideas for the bucket that you've found, which we're going to be naughty users for the bucket, and we're getting a few on Facebook. But no, we'll stick on this. Monogamy, it's in the spotlight. You're saying it's stupid. We shouldn't be held by monogamy.
Can I please, don't put words in my mouth, thank you.
You said those words.
No, I didn't. I just think that I'm confused by monogamy. I'm trying to find a reason why we have monogamy, why that's the default, and why the default isn't obtaining pleasure from multiple partners, because I feel like that's more trustworthy. You're deciding that the partner that you're with, you love them, you cherish them, you don't want anybody else in a relationship, yet why is it that sex is all of a sudden a thing where it's like, ooh, that's dirty, you can't be sharing that with anyone else.
Yeah.
Like, I share deep-seated personal connections with a lot of different people. Yeah, I don't have sex with them. So why is it the sex element that gets it weird?
Then when you have sex with guys that you don't know their name.
Exactly. So why is that an issue for a partner? 133353. Why do we have monogamy?
I was going to say to you, it's an old school idea, and my thoughts went to English Victorian era Jane Eyre.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, it's probably a hang off of that. And then I thought, hang on, the Bible even tells us 2,000 years ago, maybe a bit less than 2,000, but about that, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife.
Is that where this whole thing came from? Because I'd be very upset if I was living my life by the Bible.
In Jesus' time, clearly, if that was one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet, which means want thy neighbor's wife, then it does suggest that you shouldn't be looking elsewhere.
So why do we still live by that? Why are we still looking at that when we could...
It's a good question.
Have different relations with lots of different
people. I think as a society, we are pretty hung up on sex.
Drew on 133353, you've got an analogy for me.
Yes, I do, yes.
Tell us.
You guys, I mentioned that you have a large personal music collection.
Yes.
Yeah, is there one album that no matter if you're
Father
driving...
Go Father in Lightness by Gang of Youth.
Yeah, if you're driving, you're at work, no matter what you're doing, there's one album that you're always happy to hear.
Yeah.
Yep. The War on Drugs for me.
Yep. Good album.
Okay.
Lost in the Dream. Lost in the Dream.
Well, there you go. That's it.
So you can
listen to other albums at times, but there's one that you always like to go back to.
He's on your side, Tom.
So you're on my side, Drew. You think that monogamy is a silly thing?
No, quite the opposite. Oh. Quite the opposite, mate. Like you gather a music collection over time.
Yeah.
Right. But then you discover that there's one album that you like and you always go back to.
Yeah, but by me
and then you buy no more new albums. You have that one album, you buy no more.
By sampling other albums, I'm not devaluing the album that I currently have. So why can't I go out and listen to other music?
Well, I'm not saying that you can't. And, from personal experience, mate, like, you can do that. Like, did that when I was younger, had open relationship on one part, then to another part, it was sort of, there was rules to it, limitations to it. Like, you couldn't see the same person more than once.
But, Drew, by your analogy, you're saying that you're locked onto the one album for life. You're now not listening to any more music.
It's a terrible analogy because you get sick
No, mate. If you find one album that hits all the notes.
Yeah, but then they start scratching, they get damaged, they sound terrible, you start to resent it. You got to buy a new one.
Oh, that's why you have digital downloads.
Oh God, this has gone nowhere. This has gone nowhere. Ollie, you said that you had five or six words that you could destroy me with here.
I already said them. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife.
Hang on, so you're saying words from the Bible is destroying.
No, I'm answering your question as to why we're hung up on sex. Because even 2,000 years ago, people were told to narrow your vision and focus on your one partner.
Yeah, but before that, back in Roman times... they were having sex with,
the Roman times.
Well, no, but that was not like a one partner at
say
all.
Say it, they were having sex with?
Younger men.
Yeah, and their thighs at times.
Correct.
That was a thing, wasn't it?
And so why are we living by that one in particular? James on 133353, we're talking monogamy here. Why does monogamy exist?
Well, I think, from what I've been listening to the previous callers and stuff, I'm a Christian myself, so that's, I follow that as a way of
the
life.
The Bible, and,
Yep. So I think that Christianity is embedded into the Western culture so so deeply that people who are Christian or non-Christian, Muslim, Jewish, whatever it is, the culture that we live in as a Western society is based upon that. And it's not only the monogamy part of it, it's the, you know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. It's all of the things that we base our society on. And it's become so, that's what's so normal that I think people are actually afraid to, well, not afraid to change from it, but
it's difficult
it's
to change.
It's not the thing that everyone sees as normal.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, James. I'd hate to think that I'm living my life because of societal norms. And I think,
well, guess what? Sucked in you are. The Bible rules your life, D-head.
Oh, we got more calls coming through. 133353. Get involved in this. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Naughty After Nine. Selling the drama live. Triple M's Tom and Ollie.
A Tom and Ollie content warning.
Yeah, baby.
Tom and Ollie's Naughty After Nine.
Monogamy's in the spotlight. We talked about open relationships, and you kind of, you know, a lot of people poo-poo the open relationship, going, oh, that's weird, that's for weird people.
It's got a bit of a stigma, Tom. I think in the straight world, it's a bit stigmatized.
But for me, why are we living by this societal norm of only one partner for the rest of your life? The monogamous relationship, 133353. I'm yet to hear a good reason why we only commit to one person. When it comes to sex, particularly. You know, in a relationship, the sex is held up on a pedestal that you shall not have sex with other people. Mm. Yet we have deep emotional connections with people every day. And that's part of a relationship for me. A huge part of the relationship is connecting on a personal level. And, you know, there's only 20% of it sex. Like, it's a small part of the relationship.
You say you're yet to hear an answer that is good enough for you. Mm. What if I said to you, you meet a partner who you think is awesome and they say, yep, I love you, but I don't want you to do anything with anyone else. I just want you. What do you do?
I go, that's a good reason.
and you buck in and muck in?
Well, but I also think that relationships involve conversation and they involve give and take. And I think that I would then be,
receptive?
I'd be challenging those views.
Right, okay.
You know?
Yeah, fair enough.
133353. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
How are you going?
Can you explain monogamy to me?
Look, I think one of the things that is really important from my perspective, and I reckon any perspective in partnerships, is just the opportunity to build something fantastic over a long period of time.
Yeah.
And the sex thing, I think it's like that's an integral part of being with someone and at the deepest level.
Yeah.
But so just the chance to move on and just create, whether that's family or, you know, you have kids or you don't have kids or whatever, you've got that chance.
So Mark, does polygamy stop that from happening, that long-term connection?
I would believe so. I'll give you an example from my perspective, and I think it's different from everyone. But if we can go back about 3 years ago, my wife and I were involved in a really serious car accident. Mm. And she broke her back in a number of places. And since that, we've not been able to be intimate as such. Mm-hmm. Well, at certain levels, but
yeah,
you know what I'm getting
it's
at.
It's limiting, yeah.
Totally, yeah.
And that's tough for me as a bloke, but I weigh up the differences between, okay, if I did go and just get sexual pleasure, I feel that would be a bit of a betrayal.
Yes.
You know, yeah. and
that's a unique scenario though, isn't it, Mark? It's not, that's not the average, everyday scenario.
No, it's not. But it's about the deep commitment that happens over long periods of time and the things that you battle through as well.
Yeah.
So that's where and I know, you know, maybe I'm getting off it. I know that you feel that sex isn't a part of that, but I think it genuinely is.
Well, I think Mark, and thank you so much for sharing that. That's an amazing story. And I think sex is a very important part of a relationship, but I don't think it's all of it. So why are we holding the sex above things like emotional connection? AJ, you've got, finally, we have to wrap things up, but you've got an opinion on why monogamy exists on 133353?
Yes, mate. I think it goes back to cavemen. I honestly do. I think it relies heavily on children. being that men, you know, obviously want to go spread their seed, so obviously gay men don't feel monogamy at all. But a woman sort of wants to do nesting, and, you know, it predates the Bible for sure. And, you know, no man's going to run away from their own kids. I mean, they love them just as much as the mother does. So for the most part, I think that's the cause of monogamy. And we've just sort of carried through with it.
Yeah, so in 2018, AJ, when we don't necessarily need another person for warmth and shelter and all that kind of thing, why do we still stand by it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it has been found that when you, in cheating relationships, the person that is cheating actually becomes more loving toward their partner. It actually does, it has been proven to enhance relationships as well.
Yeah, okay.
Especially long-term ones, so.
Well, the kid's point is interesting because, Tommy, yeah, if a mother and father who have young kids who are growing up, who are 10, 12 years old.
Here we go, mother and father only.
Try and imagine it, Tom, just try and imagine it. What do you, is it right that a dad would be saying to his kids, yeah, I go off and have other, you know, is that right, do you think?
Why wouldn't it be?
I don't know.
When you're explaining that, you know, of course, to children, you're not explaining sex to a child until they're ready to talk about sex. But why can't you be talking to a child about, you know, an open sexual relationship that you have with your partner? I don't see why that is anything wrong.
Yeah.
Because
everything's possible. Totally. Yeah.
You're teaching a much more complex situation of love.
Your dad loves mummy very much, but he also doesn't mind a bit of cheeky XYZ in different bars and clubs.
We have not come to an answer here tonight, and I'm so happy. Not one person can tell me why monogamy exists.
Yeah, well, let's just take a look around. Oh, it's everywhere. I think it's winning.
Oh, so boring.
That was Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Catch up on the show by downloading the Triple M app. And if you like it, share it with your mates. For more Tom and Ollie, hit the boys up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @ Tom and Ollie.